You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Well, guys, welcome to 1 Million Cups of Appleton. Super happy to be here. 1 Million Cups of Appleton is a celebration of entrepreneurship every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Central. We host a new startup or a different startup every week. They share their story, tell us about their business, and we have a chance to ask them questions and figure out how we can help. So really excited to be here today. We have a guest. I forgot to ask where exactly he's from, but I'm sure he will let us know. But a not Fox Valley guest, a distant neighbor and friend here today with Hill Capital Corporation. We have Patrick. So welcome, Patrick, and I'll let you take it from here.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here. A little bit of background. I am also a 1 Million Cups organizer. I was very early at 1 Million Cups in St. Paul and did that for a number of years. That's where our office was located for a little bit. And then I quit going downtown St. Paul. And so I called the Kauffman Foundation. And I live in the Twin Cities and I live in Eden Prairie, which is in the Southwest Metro. And I called up Kauffman. I said, what's your plans with 1 Million Cups? We just have St. Paul in this area, but I kind of see it like Rotary clubs and other things. I'm like, our ecosystem could hold a lot more 1 Million Cups. What do you guys think? And they're like, yeah, we've been talking about expanding and so forth. And so I started and launched 1 Million Cups Eden Prairie. So of course that's going on right now. And I've been hosting that. We're on our fourth year now. So we just had our third year anniversary, and over 2,600 attendees and 160 presenters, 130 meetings. So it's kind of fun. Like when you do it every week, you know, we're like this. We have anywhere from like, you know, 9 to 20 people on a given meeting. But man, oh man, when you add up the numbers, it's just amazing the impact and in the connection. So I was sharing earlier that I always encourage, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs to like take advantage of the 1 Million Cups ecosystem and go talk to other communities. And even before COVID, you know, even like jump in a car, go to Wilmer, you know, Winona, Eau Claire. And I'm surprised more people don't take advantage of it. But here I'm telling everybody that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to go do that. And that's why I applied to present at Appleton, because we'll get into this. I've got some slides to share, but we work throughout the region, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas. Nebraska is kind of our primary region. Then we kind of go west from there as kind of our investment thesis of where we want to be making investments in businesses. And one of the places I have not been, I'm ashamed to say, is Appleton in the Green Bay area. You know, I have connections in, you know, Milwaukee, a lot of connections in Madison. We're actually working on an investment at a Madison-based company right now. And so I'm so happy to be here to meet you guys, and hopefully this will be the beginning of some new relationships and some new connections for myself and for Hill Capital. So, Andrew, I'm going to do the typical 6 minutes and kind of just have a dialogue.
Sounds great. Yeah, please.
Yep. Perfect. All right. So I'm just going to pop up my screen right here. Perfect. So Hill Capital was really founded on the ideas of capital and community to grow. And that is why when I started working on my startup, launching Hill Capital, an investment fund, community was always so important and is critical to our work today. And actually, that's why it really goes hand in hand with 1 Million Cups. We love the 1 Million Cups ecosystem. It's just tremendous. I've been in and around the business community for the last two decades. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's pay to play. There's a lot of things where you know, might be an advertiser and you can sit on a panel and stuff like that. But those days are gone. And I love the 1 Million Cups ecosystem, that it's a safe place for people to share their story, get feedback, and just draw genuine connections. And so Our work is actually very closely tied to the ethos of 1 million cups. And so, again, that's why I finally decided to kind of make a point to come out and make some new connections myself. And I did, my first presentation was to Mankato last week. And actually from feedback, I updated a couple slides, which was cool. So very beneficial. The history of Hill Capital Corporation is pretty deep. I won't go into a lot of details. The punchline is that our work is really inspired by one of America's greatest entrepreneurs who had the nickname Empire Builder, James J. Hill, who built the only privately financed transcontinental railway in the history of the United States, which is super cool. And that's the Great Northern Railway that stretched all the way essentially from Chicago to Seattle. And the story of how he did that and he built community along the way has kind of been our guiding light. He knew back when the Northwest Territory was sparse and there was no population yet, that it was important to build community along the way because that would be the only way that the railroad could be an ongoing independent economic engine that could build and to grow and not have to be relied upon handouts and tax subsidies and so on and so forth. And so we kind of play off a lot of that. Kauffman Foundation has been a wonderful experience for me personally. When we founded Hill Capital, we knew the capital gaps that existed in the marketplace. And one of the quotes that I like to share with people is actually work out of the Kauffman on their Capital Access Report, which is a wonderful body of work. It's free and available on the internet. So if any of this stuff is of interest, I would point people there. But, you know, the punchline is, I think probably a lot of us know and have seen it here on the call, is the vast majority of entrepreneurs just aren't well served by traditional capital markets. And the big reason for that is just because our businesses today are frankly asset light, and our whole financial system has been built on providing loans when there's collateral to be had or strong cash flows, current cash flows. And so there's a huge gap in the marketplace. And that was why we formed Hill Capital Corporation, was to help address the capital gap that exists in the marketplace. And so this chart is kind of our keystone that we point to quite a bit and gets a lot of recognition. If you look at, you know, from your left to your right, that's the risk reward profile. And so on the left, it's like low risk, low return. So that's where you think where like the banks will play. And then to the far right, you think of high risk, high return, like angel investing or Shark Tank. And then the reality is there's a lot in the middle. And not a whole lot of people talk about the things in the middle, and that's where a lot of the gap exists. If somebody's got a business that truly could be the next billion-dollar thing, capital access isn't too bad. It can feel harsh at times, but the reality is there is a lot of angel investors and a lot of capital that will support those really high-flying. But for our Main Street businesses, the person that owns a couple of coffee shops and would like to, you know, expand to 10 coffee shops, capital access is very, very difficult for them because they don't necessarily have enough growth for somebody to provide equity capital to take that risk. And that was our interest. That is our interest with Hill Capital, is investing in more Main Street businesses where somebody is looking at, hey, I'm at $1 million and I'd like to get to like 4 to 5. And that's going to be a really big deal. Or, you know, somebody's at 250,000 of reoccurring revenue and wants to get it to 3. Those are the types of things that we're very interested in. And a lot of times those are the things that can't get funded because they're nice businesses, but they're not necessarily the next billion-dollar thing, let alone the next $100 million thing. And so how we look like with compared across the board, you know, we run a process. We structure our investment. We have a way to structure, we call an equity-based note. So we can get paid back over time, but we don't have to own stock in the business long-term. So they can give us a return and we can get off the cap table. That's important. We've spent a lot of time as entrepreneurs thinking about being on both sides of the table. What do we need to get for our investors? And what is in the best interest of the business owners long-term? And the reason that is important is because the challenge if somebody has stockholders, the only way to get them really liquid these days is to sell the business. And that's the problem. We've got a lot of nice businesses, but they end up selling, getting sold so they can give a return to shareholders. And that's too bad, because that has really eviscerated our, you know, nice 5, 10, 15, $20 million companies in our communities, what we like to call Main Street businesses. And the other thing that's lacking in the ecosystem as well is a lot of businesses like to take money because the support that comes with it. And so that's why we worked hard to put together an ecosystem of community to support these businesses. So we do a lot of things to support the ecosystem and our portfolio companies. The picture you see is a former employee of Apple who worked next to Steve Jobs and developed what became the iPhone. It was one of the first iterations of what it looked like. And this was back in the late 70s, early 80s, Jeff Brown. And this is an event center that we held Empire Builders at. We've held a number of these. Of course, they've had to be online. Our next one actually is tomorrow, Empire Builders, but we get people together to share insights and inspiration and really help people think about where and how they can grow. So we utilize that community to partner with our portfolio companies, but also to provide value to everybody in the ecosystem. It's always been important to us that, you know, we know we have to look at 50 or 100 companies and we can only invest in a handful, but we do a lot of things to make sure that the other companies that aren't necessarily a fit, we support them. And 1 Million Cups is a great example of that, pointing people to 1 Million Cups, but also making our network and inviting people to our events and making that free. We host everything is how we help businesses throughout the region. We have 4 current portfolio companies. You can look at it on our website if you want to click through and see it there. It is tech heavy. Cytotherics is a biotechnology company. We just closed that in December. Cache is a SaaS company. GoRoute is a sports tech company in Mankato, Minnesota. And WareCorp is a software development firm. This was the slide I created, feedback of Mankato. People are like, well, tell us what you did, because I didn't have this in here before. So in 2020, we closed 4 investments. We invested $3.3 million. We have ambassadors, which are advisors to us and more importantly to our portfolio companies. Mostly these are retired business owners, but a number of them are still active in the business community, especially the people that have technology or marketing background. And these are the people that will help support the business owners. So for example, we had Cytotherics present to 25 of our ambassadors yesterday so they could start working their networks to help them with potential customers and insights. We looked at over 200 companies. 78% of our deal flow is warm referrals. It's really things like this, getting to know people and having people understand who we are and saying, oh, you guys should talk. We hosted 9 expert hours where we bring in a content expert and let them share their insights. We hosted 3 Empire Builders. Again, like you see in the picture here, this was at Green Acres. We can't wait to get back in person because our model is really the idea of like having dinners and happy hours and getting together in person, but we're doing our best like everyone online. And tomorrow is our next Empire Builders where we're talking about the financial foundations for success. I will share a link. You are my guest. So if you'd like to come to that, there's 2 90-minute sessions, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. We've broken them up and trying to make them short and impactful. So it's not sitting on a Zoom call all day. And the challenges we had was just overall awareness of Hill Capital and our investment structure. Again, we have a unique investment structure. We just don't lend a business money, nor do we just buy the stock. It is a hybrid. And we do that to best align all the interests of all the parties. And so that's come with a lot of like work and due diligence over the last 5 years on a product, an equity-based note that we call it, to make sure that it works best for both parties. So to bring it to a wrap, my ask for the Fox Valley community is the biggest thing is, we're always looking for referrals to prospective investments, events, any events that we can attend and or sponsor, like we've sponsored the SOAR Conference for Women in Central Minnesota. We sponsored the Silicon Investor Conference in Fargo and a number of others. But we always like to be involved with events. And then one of the biggest asks for the community is, as I mentioned earlier, I don't have any connections in the Appleton Green Bay area with just small business advisors or anybody like accountants, attorneys, SBDC consultants that are working with small business owners. And so I'd love any connections where we can host get to know you sessions similar to this, where, you know, we just jump online for a half hour and get to know each other, learn about their law practice. We'd share insights on what we're doing with Hill Capital and just start to build some relationships. So that's one of the biggest things I could ask for from the community. And then finally, please engage with us. Join us for Empire Builders or any events that we host throughout the Great Northern region. We're always connecting the dots and making sure people have the resources that they need to be successful. And so with that, I will hand it over to back to the community. I'd love to share any additional thoughts or insights.
Hey, Patrick, thank you for your presentation. I think that's really interesting. Usually I kick it off with a question, so I will this All right. time, because I have a lot of questions for you. Could you just, like, I'm familiar with venture capital, how it works, own a SaaS company that is looking to raise our first round like this year. Tell me this though, like what exactly do you mean by equity? Know what I mean? Is it, we give you equity and we pay you back for it? You know, is that like what you mean? It, like, so you do own a percentage of the company, but we just have opportunities to buy them back from you? Is that how that works? Or
it's a great question. And especially being a SaaS-based company, you may be familiar with there's several new investors out there, what they call revenue-based financing.
Yep.
And so it's not that, but it would be analogous to that. I would call ours free cash flow investing. So we put in a dollar and we look to earn $2 to $3 back. It's literally that simple. Versus if somebody's buying stock, they're looking for at least a 10x, if not 100x. That's their traditional venture capital model, right? Like, they need a huge pop to be able to make up for all the write-offs and the company.
That investment they've made, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Essentially, what they pay for.
Yeah, so we think about risk and return differently than traditional equity investors. So we utilize our legal documents. We call it an equity-based note. We don't own stock. We don't own stock outright. We use a warrant, so a right to purchase equity that just says, we're going to put this money in. We have a right to buy stock. So a lot of times it might be at like a $3 million or $5 million valuation. We have the right to buy the stock. And the reason why we have that, because if a company does grow and it is sold, we then can have some additional return, which helps us as a portfolio offset maybe some losses and so forth. But it's not a control mechanism. Like, that's the big difference. The business owner, we don't take a board seat or any of that type of stuff. We really support the business. And then we structure our investment to say, okay, we're going to put in a dollar. The business needs to spend this money, and then it should have ample profits in years 3, 4, and 5, or whenever it is. And so we structure that in financial modeling and underwriting. We say, okay, we'll put this money in, and this is what a payment structure would look like to give us that return of $2 to $3 back over usually a 5-year period.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yep. And that's why it's not necessarily like a bank loan. Like, a bank loan would just be straight line, right? Like, they give you, you know, they'd give you a dollar and want 10 cents back every month or whatever. It's not that. It's because we have full flexibility to kind of map out what those payments would be.
And you can rain and wax with the actual cash flow and revenue business.
Yeah. So that's why we spend a lot of the front end really kind of modeling and thinking through what does this business need to have plenty of cushion to execute and then what will it look like in its capacity to provide a return to our investors. And that's
it's a really interesting model. You know, because it, yeah, I mean, it, in many ways, it's almost like venture debt, but not really, you know, and I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I guess one follow-up question to that, though, is have you seen or has there been any issues with the companies that you invest in with your model who then want to raise another round? Like, because it seems like it would be very messy, like, to be able to raise more capital after working with you. Is that true?
No, it's actually the opposite, because what's super nice, like, we have our core values right on our website. What's really nice, and one of them is transparency. And so that's why very early on the underwriting process, we share all the legal docs. We work on the financial forecast together to understand what everything looks like.
Sure.
But specifically to your question is, we have in our documents the rights for the business owner to take us out completely, including all of our equity rights, which is extremely unique. And so it's crystal clear, like, how to take us out. And so that's really important because, you know, like the companies we've invested in, you know, they're kind of going like this. But if somebody comes in and wants to take it like this, like they want to raise a $10 million venture round or do something like that, it would be a no-brainer just to take us out, because we invest a $500,000 to $1 million. And so a company like Cytotherics, if they're anywhere close to doing what they think they can, you know, they'd probably bring in a $50 or $100 million venture round in 4 years. They'd just take us out. Like, it just would make no sense.
Compensate you for your investment at while closing their next round.
Right. Because all we care about is at the end of the day, we're just saying we want an investment rate of return. Like, we want to get an IRR. You know, we just want an investment rate of return. That's all we care about. That's the key. And that's the big differentiator, because everybody else is afraid to talk about that. We just say, let's call
it. That is really interesting.
Yeah.
It almost seems like you're an investor who doesn't really like money, but I'm just kidding.
Well, we think about it differently.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by that. I don't mean that you don't like money, but that's really interesting. I don't know if I've met an investor with that mindset before, or at least in that way. That's really cool. I have more questions, but does anyone else have questions?
I'll ask a question. So you said earlier, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but you look at 50 companies and you might invest in 3 companies.
Right.
I'm just curious. Do you only invest in 3 companies because that's all the capital you have to invest? Or is it because when you go through 50 companies, 47 of them aren't a right fit?
It's more the latter, but it is both. So as fund one, I raised $10 million for our fund. So I'm looking to invest into 10 to 12 businesses at $500,000 to $1 million. Okay. And so one of my constraints is that because our underwriting can take 50 to 100 hours, and because I just have myself and my business partner, we have constraints as a business too. Like, right now I'm underwriting 4 investments, which is I'm at full bandwidth. And so we've got a couple that we're very interested in, but I got to get another one of these closed before I have time to start underwriting another deal. So we naturally have constraints. The biggest challenge, though, is that it has to be the right fit for both parties. And so we'll see a company that might be too early stage or not a right fit, or maybe they're located in Missouri. And I'm like, I love this. You know, if I was a bigger fund or we had more staff, I'd be all for starting to, you know, invest throughout the United States. But when we have plenty of stuff in Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Dakotas, like, we're going to do those deals first. And so on our pipeline sheet, we call it on the shelf, because it's maybe not a fit for us or maybe not a fit for them. Sometimes we'll take a look at a company and we'll say, you know, while we may love to invest, frankly, there's probably better investors that you guys should be pursuing, you know, because if it is that really high growth tech company, they should be talking to Arthur Ventures and other, you know, tech investors in the region and throughout the United States. And so you know, we just want to be very cognizant of making sure it's the right fit, because we're very big on it being a partnership. That's really key, is, you know, when we make this investment, we see these truly as our business partners and really having a strong working relationship. And so the stars really have to align for it to be the right fit, especially in fund one.
Yeah.
And a lot of the companies we see too aren't ready for an outside investor is probably the bigger challenge. We don't mind messy. All private businesses and even public companies, but are messy. So we don't mind helping to, lack of better words, clean things up or kind of get things in order. But a lot of companies just frankly aren't in a position that they're ready to bring in outside money. And that's why, so Generator has been a terrific partner. Like, we do a lot of the G beta investor swarms and stuff like that. But a lot of times I'll point people to, hey, if you go to an accelerator, like, you will benefit a lot from that, and let's stay in touch type of stuff.
So just curious, can you give some like guidelines? So say I want to go and get an investment.
Yeah.
What are the things that you look for? What do you want to see within my company? That, what can a business be doing today to get prepared to come to an investor like you?
So one of the things is just good books and records. So we, you know, in terms of that, like, one of the things we want to look at out of the gates is just financials, just to make sure we kind of understand where the company's at. And we don't need a robust forecast, but we need a vision from the business owners of like, hey, I'm here and I want to go here, and I think I need to hire a couple marketing people and do some things, you know, implement a new CRM system or whatever the case may be. And I roughly think it's this cost. Those are helpful. But amongst friends, Eric, what really pulls on our heartstrings is the people. Like, we always take the time to like have a conversation and get to know people, because again, it's all about the relationship. And if we, if it feels like a really good partnership, that's what's really key for us. So our model has like zero tolerance for bad actors. And not that any investor should have any tolerance for bad actors, but the reality is there's a lot of spray and pray investors where, you know, they know one of the moonshots is going to make up for all the bad investments, so they don't spend a lot of time doing background checks and getting to know people. But we don't have tolerance for, somebody that's, you know, not going to treat our investment capital in the right way or be a good partner with us. So a lot of our underwriting process is frankly getting to know the people. And that's why our community and our ecosystem is really important as well, and why warm referrals is really important. So if somebody is really vested in their business, that goes a long way for us to know that we're completely aligned. Because unfortunately, some people, if times get tough or things aren't working out, they're like, yeah, I'm done with this business, and walk away and go start up another one. That doesn't work for our model. And so a lot of it's just kind of getting to know the person and them getting to know us and making sure that we're on the same page. So that's why, you know, 9 out of 10 times somebody reaches out to us, we'll jump on a half hour call and at least have a conversation and get to know each other, and go from there.
Cool.
And documents, just financials. I mean, if QuickBooks is a mess, that you're going to have somebody's going to have a problem anywhere, you know, going to the bank or anywhere else. But we kind of need to see that, you know, they're never perfect, but we need to see that there's some decent, you know, bookkeeping in place.
Yeah. So somebody else has to have a question on here.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing? I'm sorry I was a couple minutes late to your presentation, but, you know, it was great. I'm hoping someday to be ready to seek you out. But I was just curious, you know, and maybe this was, I apologize if this question was asked already, but, you know, what kind of changes have there been, you know, in this past year? I mean,
Question.
I mean, Was that asked already? I'm not sure.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, yeah. So changes because of the pandemic and so on and so forth, and how it impacted us and our fund.
You know, kind of like, I mean, have you changed, you know, because of course, you know, a lot of businesses, I mean, have been struggling, you know, quite a bit, you know, so, you know, have your processes changed? I mean, for how you vet businesses or for, you know, I mean.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful question. And so what's really ironic about the pandemic is it has really proven our business model. It has really demonstrated why it is so important for us to get to know the business owner and the financial modeling we did on the front end. Because I had to create the models from scratch. So the first couple took like 50 hours, and now I'm down to like maybe 10 hours on a financial model with more recent investments. But they have been worth their weight in gold. Specifically, we invested in a company called GoRoute because we closed three investments right before the pandemic hit. GoRoute makes, it's a sports technology company that provides routes on a basically a smartphone, a dummy phone that just does one thing, but it's for football teams. And so, of course, football teams got decimated in their fall season going into June, July is when they make all their money. And it was a huge problem. But because of that, the founder in Mankato, Mike Rowley, we had this financial model. And because of it, he knew like scenarios A, B, C, D, what he needed to do, depending on what would happen. If only, you know, half the schools came back, or if none of them came back, he knew what he needed to do and the tough choices he needed to make. So it really proved out how important it was for us to do that. Because if we didn't have that tool with that investment, we would have been in a real pickle. And, you know, and it's not as easy like, well, just lay off people or furlough them or not, or, you know, order stuff and don't order stuff. It matters a lot. Like the timing of when you know, order your equipment and the ability for the schools to pay and so on and so forth. And so we've spent a lot of time with him and with all of our portfolio companies really thinking through that. So it has really fortified our thinking around how we work with our business owners and the processes that we have. It did slow us down. There's a number of companies that we've had in underwriting, and frankly, that's why we're drinking from a fire hose in underwriting right now. There was one company in particular makes coffee, and selling online has been great, but selling to hospitality has been completely decimated. And so she's working through kind of like where things are at, and we're kind of playing it by ear here. And plus she can get a lot of PPP money right now, and she did beforehand. So it's like, you got to figure that out, because that's going to be the cheapest money that a business owner is ever going to get. And then we'll kind of figure it out. So some of that has put some things on pause and has changed. And then the last thing I would mention is like, we kicked our whole like community mindset into high gear once the pandemic hit. And that's why when we did expert hours, they're really intended for our, like our portfolio companies and companies we're talking to about investing in. But we pretty much opened that up to all entrepreneurs that we've met. We opened up Empire Builders, like all of you are welcome tomorrow. We've really opened up a lot of our programming wherever possible, and hosted events just to try to help everybody throughout the ecosystem. So those are some of the things that were different for us because of the situation we're in.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. James?
Yeah, if I'm not
going to. It's all you.
Awesome. Well, similarly, thank you, Patrick, for speaking. I find this stuff really interesting as well. I think I'd be interested to hear a little bit about how you all are thinking about like diversity and equity within the work that you do, especially given kind of how you describe yourselves as very community and connection oriented, knowing that, you know, certain groups like white men are very overrepresented in their access to capital, whereas other groups like women and people of color tend not to be. So just wondering if like that's something that's on your mind and how you all are thinking about that.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful question. It's near and dear to my heart because I've got a number of things for that question. So this picture is at Empire Builders. Diversity and inclusion is always very important. We have a number of we have females on our investment committee, on our board of directors, and in our LPs. This picture, Empire Builders, you know, you can see it's, you know, there's diversity within our meetings. We do work hard to spread the word into communities and to invite everybody. But inclusion has been, it is a challenge because especially in our region, right? I think the statistic is it's like 85% Caucasian, you know, in our region and so forth. So like, if, you know, like our events, or you look at our ambassadors, like they're mostly white people. And so we have been thinking a lot about where and how we get more people involved. One of the things that we've done is at our last Empire Builders, we partnered with a nonprofit called Cookie Cart in North Minneapolis that serves primarily the Black community, where youth are learning business. They're baking cookies and selling it, and they've been around for a few decades. And so we had them come in and present, and a number of those students came in and participated in our last Empire Builders. And then as a special surprise, we gave away cookies to everybody that attended. So we shipped out cookies and bought like $1,000 worth of cookies from Cookies Carts at our last event. So there's things that we're trying to do. There's a number of different, I could go into a bunch more details there, but there's a number of like nonprofit groups and business owner associations that we've been trying to tie into, but this is always on the forefront of our minds. And so if anybody has any connections to groups or communities that we can welcome to Empire Builders and encourage them for us to get to know each other, we welcome that. We don't have an explicit impact statement within Hill Capital, but there's a lot of implicit impact statements. We're very big into community. We're very big into supporting entrepreneurs wherever they come from and wherever they are in their journey. We do state that right on our front page of our website. And so we're always thinking about where and how to tap into that. And so I'm pretty happy with, you know, like someday we'll be able to reflect back. You know, we've got, you know, three of our four investments have people of color that are heavily involved on their executive teams. We have several investments, like I mentioned, female executives that are involved or female are founders, business owners and stuff like that too. But again, like it wasn't intentional per se, like, hey, we have a mandate to invest in this percentage or anything like that. That's just what's naturally been occurring, which is terrific. So I don't know if that helped, but those are kind of where my mind went with your question.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I know the other thing. So I'm a member of Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. Is anybody familiar with EO or maybe even a member? EO just started a chapter in Madison. So EO, Wisconsin. It's not in Madison. It's technically all of Wisconsin. and EO Minnesota has 78 members. And it's a global community. So our regional and our global events is very diverse, right? Like I get online and there's people from Africa and India and Australia and all over the place. So it feels diverse, but at a local level, it's not diverse. So I started and formed an inclusion committee at EO Minnesota. And so that's also been helpful for us to engage. Like we have Brown Venture Group presenting to EO tomorrow because I brought them in. Actually, Ware Corp, they're the owners of Ware Corp are two of the four founders of Brown Venture Group, which is a new venture fund that is focused on making investments in people of color. So anyways, trying to address this in a number of ways. And of course, being in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis and George Floyd and everything else, like it's beyond words, just everything that transpired this summer. So we've been trying to address it wherever possible. And we were doing it well before that too, but it just was extremely eye-opening this summer.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's really cool. I'll say like, I believe like capitalism is one of the best ways to you know, level the playing field, right? And a big part of that is capital availability. So I think what you're doing is really, really great. But I will also say it's tricky, right? Like, there's no right answer. There's no, like, if you do this, this, and this, you're, you know, whatever. It has to kind of do its own thing. And there's really no right answer, but it's really cool to kind of get some of those metrics from you in terms of the impact that you've already made.
And I will share too. So if anybody's interested in this, I'd point out the Venn Foundation, which is the Twin Cities. One of our founding shareholders is Jeannie Voigt. She's been a very active social impact investor. So again, we were founded by people that are pretty heavy into social impact. So if anybody wants those connections or insights too, happy to share them. And then back to Kaufman, that's why I love entrepreneurship, because I think entrepreneurship solves for a lot of that. Like, if I look at my my grandparents and the other side, great grandparents, when they fell off the boat as immigrants, right? Like, they're entrepreneurs. Like, they started their own thing. That's just like, so it's always heavily immigrant focused or entrepreneurship. And, you know, it's like, what do you do? Well, you create something and you sell it. And so I love the whole idea of like supporting entrepreneurs. We had a conversation with a nonprofit a couple of weeks ago called Better Futures. Now, this is the toughest of the toughest, because this is addressing recidivism. so when guys are coming out of jail, what do they do for work? You know, and nobody wants to hire a felon. And so there's a nonprofit in the Twin Cities called Better Futures that supports them, gives them work and stuff like that. But we're talking with them about where and how they're supporting the guys that want to start businesses. Entrepreneurs. And what a great way, because if you're your own boss, you don't need to worry about somebody, you know, being biased against you because you've got a record. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Well, we're getting close on our time here. Want to thank you for presenting today, Patrick. It's been really great getting to know your business. I hope that you can build some bridges over to Appleton. I think like our entrepreneurial ecosystem here is definitely developing, but there's some really cool things happening and different businesses that I think could really benefit from knowing you and your unique model. It's actually really refreshing too. I mean, like I'm like many entrepreneurs, really fascinated by the idea of raising money and, you know, weigh the pros and cons back and forth a lot. So it's really refreshing to kind of learn about your model and how it differs from others. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And you already kind of covered like what the community can do for you. But if you just want to recap that really quickly, that's usually how we end these calls.
Yeah, the two big items I posted in chat, but please come to Empire Builders tomorrow. If I know it's last minute, but we'll host them in the future. So, you know, more than happy to invite all of you, welcome you to events we host in the future. But if you do have other people we can meet in your community, please email me or give us a call, because we'd love to get to know some, you know, some of the service providers or people that are working with business owners in your region and open up those dialogues. So grateful for that and the opportunity to get to know you guys. And if there's anything I can do for any of you, you know, like, I keep a whole roster. I'm a member of Gopher Angel, so on and so forth, but I keep a list of investors. So if there's anything I can do for you guys, just let me know, because I'm an open networker. I'll share contacts and insights if there's connections, or if any of you would like to come present to 1 Million Cups Eden Prairie, I'll personally just get you on the calendar and make it happen. So
awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much, Patrick. Really appreciate it. And thanks everyone for joining us today. Eric, I believe we have a presenter next week as well, for next 2 weeks, maybe, or just next week. And then we have another one scheduled. But anyways, look for the updates, but we'll be back. We want to keep this rolling. So as well, if you know of any entrepreneurs, Patrick as well, if you know any local entrepreneurs in your area that would want to contribute or come present at Appleton, we're an open door for this. We're going to keep this digital thing rolling. So yeah, awesome, guys. Thanks so much for coming today. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody. I'll see you next week. I'm presenting. So.
Oh, yeah. Michael's presenting.
It's going to be awesome. Riveting. So.
Oh, we look forward to it. That's going to be great.
You take care.
Awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.